boundless mercy has rewrote my life. Oh, God's mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Aren't you glad that He did? Oh, God's mercy rewrote my life. Oh, God's mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down. Oh, but mercy rewrote my life. Sing it for me.
God's mercy has rewrote my life. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. When I should have fallen,
the mercy of the Lord. Where would we be without His great mercy this morning? Isn't it a wonderful privilege once again to be in the house of the Lord? Praise the Lord. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? I'll tell you what, if you missed that message, you need, as soon as you get to the house, pull it up. Because it was just an incredible, incredible message that we heard here last night, and I know it was a blessing to those of you that were here. Well, we're just looking to what God would have for us today. I believe it's going to be another incredible message today, don't you? Just a wonderful privilege for all of us to get to be together in the house of the Lord. Why don't you take just a second, turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God this morning. Brethren, play that if you will. Let's sing a little bit more of that song this morning. You can't play if you ain't got the sticks. Oh, praise the Lord. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you, Brother Joe. Appreciate you, buddy. God bless you. Appreciate you. God bless you, buddy. You look stunning this morning. Praise the Lord. Has rewrote my life. Yes, God's mercy has rewrote my life. I should have fallen. My soul cast down. Oh, but mercy rewrote And somebody said, praise the Lord. Amen. If you don't care to stand with me just for a little bit, let's look at our prayer request this morning. We'll remember Maria Grillo for a very special unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that unto the Lord also. Please have the church to keep me in your prayers. I have a very special unspoken request this morning. Another need turned in. Please pray for the family of Sandra Lawrence. They need a miracle in their family. Also an unspoken request for Joshua Pistole. So let's pray for those folks today. Sister Yvette Collins wants us to keep praying for Brother Howard. He is doing much better, but he's still in need of our prayer. So we certainly want to remember Brother Howard Collins in prayer today. Brother Junior Davis says, please continue to pray for Eliza Davis. She coughed all night long, did not get to sleep until about 5 o'clock this morning. So I want to pray for that child, little six-year-old daughter, Brother Nathan. So let's just pray for those needs this morning, Brother and Sister Davis's little daughter. I want to pray for a lady by the name of Michaela who has many needs. She's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Sister Sue Miller wants us to remember her father in prayer. He has been on some kind of a medication. He's been suffering from a lot of different falls. And they're just asking that we would remember him in prayer, that the medication would be distributed in a way that they think that that's the problem. He's causing him to fall quite a bit from the medication. So we want to remember that prayer request today. I want to pray for, this is an urgent prayer request for our pastor, Paul. I probably won't get this name right. Pinar. He was taken to the hospital yesterday. He is in the intensive care unit. We'll have surgery tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in our South Africa time with a triple bypass. So we certainly want to pray for that assembly as they are very concerned about their pastor. Let's pray for that need today. Brother Joel Moyer asked for prayer for his daughter who is handicapped, that she can get Medicaid because of her medication and is very expensive. Also, Brother Joel has an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Sister Angie Brown fell and hurt her leg yesterday, so let's pray for that. Also, our daughter-in-law fell yesterday. Jennifer fell and hurt her ankle very bad, so let's pray for her this morning. Sister Sylvia Barham says to please pray for a dear friend, Rosemary Carson, and her family. She has cancer, only has a few days to live. She's a precious Christian, has fought such a hard fight. May God bless you. So let's remember that need today. We want to keep the Elias family in prayer. They lost their 22-year-old son this past week. So let's pray for God's comforting mercy to them. Sister Ann Shipley wants us to remember Sister Melinda Stewart from Beckley, West Virginia. The doctors have only given her 3 weeks to live. Also, her parents, Brother George and Sister Helen Pendergrass, are both sick and need healing in their body. So let's pray for those needs today as we pray. Sister Sherry Wiggins sends us in to please pray for little Joshua Glass. He's the 2-month-old baby of my daughter-in-law's sister in West Virginia. He is in serious condition in the hospital and in desperate need of prayer. Please keep this little fella in your prayer. So we just got a lot to ask the Lord about this morning. But how many of you know that God heard every one of them? He knows the answer and has the answer even before we ask. Do you believe that? You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about. We'll just commit all these things unto the Lord. Let's just sing that little chorus one more time before we pray. Mercy has rewritten our life. What a story if we could all pass through here. What a story all of us could tell about the mercy of the Lord and how it has affected and changed our life. The reason you could even sit here and love the services that you're in is because God touched you and changed you from what you were to what you are now. He's not done with us, but how many of you are glad He's brought you a mighty long ways? Somebody say praise the Lord this morning. Give Him a real good hand clap of praise if you love Him. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing it, buddy.
Mercy.
Sing it with all your heart,
church. My life.
Oh, yes, it did.
Oh, mercy. I should have fallen, my soul cast down.
We truly believe that. Let's bow our heads as we look to the Lord. You pray with me as I pray. Father, we count it a great privilege to be back in the house of God. We're so thankful, Lord, for so many things. It would take hours to list the things that you have given us and done for us and how what you mean to us and how great you are in our lives. Lord, truly that we have been born from above. We have been transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have learned to love you more and more and more. God, you always loved us. Even when we were yet sinners, you loved us and you gave us your word. And we're so thankful for the word, the written word, the Logos word. Lord, thank you for the inspiration, Lord, that we frequently receive the Rhema, the revelations, Lord. We're happy, Lord, that we can say thank you for the word of God. Lord, I see our nation in decline. Remember what George Washington said, made a famous statement one time. He said, no nation can be governed properly without God and the Bible. We see it's going downhill and its days are numbered. Even the prophet God in the last vision saw the complete demise of America. She was blown apart. So we know these days are numbered. But we want to take advantage of every opportunity we have to be in the house of God, knowing not how much time we have left. But we're thankful, Lord, for this one day we're here today. We count it this a privilege to be in the house of God today to worship you in spirit and in truth, to hear the word of God in freedom, Lord, that we still enjoy to be God in your house. We're thankful for that. We pray for Howard Collins. You know his condition. I pray that you'll touch him and heal him and raise him up. Brother Nathan's little daughter, you know her condition. I pray that you'll just bring your healing touch to her. Lord, Brother Paul, the pastor in South Africa, has a knee. He's going to, I think, a triple bypass surgery tomorrow. Be with him. Guide the hand of the doctor as they go through this operation. And may it be successful. May he recover quickly, Lord. And God, you just anoint our pastor this morning. Give him, Lord, the words of life to speak to us. Lord, he can't give us a revelation, but he can bring the word to us. That we pray, Lord, for revelation that you'll quicken that word to us, make it alive, and make it Rhema word for us that we might be able to take that word, apply it to our lives, live a life worthy of the gospel. Grant these things, Lord. Give us understanding. May we go from the building and say, it's been good to be in the house of God. We're happy to be in your presence. We love your word. We're thankful for your grace. Take the uppermost seat. We welcome you this morning. Every request I have in my hand that I didn't mention, it's already been mentioned. You know about it. We're looking for testimony because you're still the healer. And everyone, Lord, that has faith, believing, seeing that these things will come to pass according to your divine will. Grant each one, Lord, as we give you our divine love to you this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we certainly want to take this time to welcome you. Glad to have you visiting with us. We have some visitors this morning. We want to welcome to the service Ron Griffin. Where would they be? Would you just raise your hand this morning? Right back here. Give those folks a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Glad to have you here. Also, Tom and Sharon Sproles from Brother Ray Erickson's church in Bluffton, Ohio. They're visiting with us today in the service. Where would you folks be? Raise your hand right here. God bless you. Glad to have you in the service today. Just trust that the service will be a blessing, and it's good to see all you home folks that's visiting with us this morning. God bless you. We're just glad to have everybody. It's going to be a great day to worship the Lord, isn't it? It'll be just what you make it. You want to make it a good time and a good day? It's all up to you. Let's worship the Lord in some singing right now. I believe he's coming back like he said. And after what we heard last night, I don't believe it's going to be very long at all. We'll meet him in the air. How about you? You glad about it? Give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him. Follow your heart. Play it, buddy. Play it.
High upon a mountain, from where he ascended, the angel of the Lord declared that it would be. He said, don't you stand here grieving.
That's right.
Cause this one that you see leaving in like manner's coming back just like he said.
Singing awful good this morning. We got to sing another one just because of that. But I believe you love to worship the Lord. And I believe He loves to hear you worship Him. I believe He loves that with all of His heart. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus together just before we change the order of the service. We're going to have a couple of specials this morning. I know you're looking forward to that. But let's sing this. Open the eyes of my heart. I noticed Brother Terry in his prayer. Brother Donnie can stand here and any other minister can stand here and explain and expound and teach us the word of the Lord. But God has to reveal it to us and make it live in our heart, make it alive to us. The Spirit has to quicken that. Aren't you glad that we've got the truth, the word and the Spirit? And it works so beautifully together. I appreciate that with all my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Sing it out, church.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you.
as we sing, holy, 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 I want to see.
Oh, sing it to him now.
I want to see.
With all your heart.
Well, now open the eyes. Well,
open the eyes of my heart.
Do it, Lord, Lord. Lord.
To your word, open the eyes of
yes,
my
Lord.
Heart.
God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. We have a couple of songs. It's going to take you guys just a little bit of time to get ready. Is that right? Come on and get ready. Y'all come on and get ready. I don't know how they have it arranged this morning. Brother John Linichek and ever how they have that arranged. But while they're getting ready, Brother Caleb's going to come and give us a song this morning. So we just enjoy our singers this morning. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. And you boys go ahead and get geared up and get ready. And we'll be ready for you to sing when Brother Caleb sings for us. Appreciate our singers, don't we? Give them a nice hand as they come to sing for you today.
Unworthy of his mercy, Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are sealed, when striving ceases, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Grip on me, for I am his.
praise the Lord. Let's stand. Did you enjoy that this morning?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little chorus as Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. Pray for our pastor today that God will give us a heart to receive the word of the Lord. Amen. Born again. There's really been a change. Are you glad for that change? Oh, born again. There's really been a change in me. Yes, now born again, just like Jesus said. Oh, now born again, and all because of Calvary. I'm glad, so glad, I've been born again. One more time. Oh, yes, now born again. There's really been a change.
I got born again and all because of Calvary. I'm glad, so glad I've been born.
Let's sing it again, everybody together.
Oh, I got born again. There's really been a change in me. I was born again. Just like Jesus said, born again and all because of Calvary. I'm glad, so glad I've been born again.
Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God. That truly is such a miracle within itself, isn't it? To think that we would come to the earth in such a condition and that God would make a way where we could actually be reborn in the same house, a new creation in the same old temple. Amen. Let's turn today, if you would, to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'd like to speak to you again today on take the rapture by the word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the Logos of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now there are many, many, many Christians, whether they'd be in the message or in the world of denominationalism, but Christendom, as we'd call it, that believe this scripture. So they believe the Logos. Many denominations. We're not the only one that preaches a rapture, right? So they believe that. But will they go by believing there is one? No. For the word of the Lord is more than just Logos. So they believe this. They're able to embrace this. Logos is visible. Rhema is invisible. Logos can be seen. Rhema cannot be seen. The seed can be seen and held, but the life can't. Notice this in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, this Greek word that Paul uses is a moment of a measurement of time that is so close that it allows no time for anything else to happen from the dead in Christ and then. It's just like that. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, not in the clouds, but so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these logoses again, the rapture, paragraph 65. But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her. Now, to believe there is one doesn't really even need a revelation. If you just take it from the written word, you say, okay, well, there's going to be a, you know, a harpazo is going to be called up. Something's going to happen. So we're going to be changed. So don't even need a revelation for that. But this that we're talking about in order to be included in the rapture requires this special inclusion that only God himself can give. The true bride of Christ will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that has been revealed to you like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. Now, faith, that's what faith is, the revelation of God. The church is built upon a revelation, the whole entire body. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we so love you today, Father. What a great, great opportunity given to us in this day. With gross darkness upon the people. Lord, the world is in such a mess. All over the world, the cry for something to come, something to help us. People think it's democracy. They think it's if we can get more money, if we can get this and do that and find something else and looking for a goal to achieve. And once they get there, it didn't produce the happiness they thought it would. And then they set another goal and then they strive and they struggle to come to that. And then once they arrive there, that doesn't satisfy either. But we're so grateful today we have the satisfying portion, Lord. We're not the wealthiest people in the world. We're not the smartest, Lord. We don't have all the worldly goods. But Lord Jesus, when we lay down on our bed at night, we have something that money cannot buy. And we know your prophet Paul told us, godliness with contentment is great gain. As we look into your word today, I pray that you'd speak to us. Heavenly Father, I've tried to study, tried to apply myself, fill my spirit with the word, but may the supernatural power of God come and help me. May they realize they themselves have such an impact on how this service will go. Help the people, Lord God, of the bride, not only here but around the world, to understand it's not the preacher that brings in his briefcase and he unfolds a bunch of notes and it's already predetermined how the service will go. This service right here today will be greatly dictated by the way they pull and the way they believe and the way they respond. So we're asking for you. We're asking for three great components to come together. First of all, you. And me and them. And if we can all get together, there ain't no telling what will take place in this building today. Would you do it, Lord? Help us to get out of the way and do our part. We know you always do yours. And for that, we are thankful. Speak to us today, we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I love you in the Lord today. Let me share this with you again today. If you were here last night, and I know some of you were, you forgive me for repeating myself. The Word of God is comprised of two elements in which God makes His Word, and that is the Logos and the Rhema. Both are absolutely essential in completing us to be what God desires for us to be. A person can be a nominal believer by believing the word. You can be that around the message. I know we think that that's only out there, but I'm convinced there's more and more of those type around our own ranks than we want to acknowledge. That they simply embrace the word and they say, I believe it. I believe every word. You know, that doesn't really say much about you. Just to say, I believe every word. Most of you never even heard every word on the tapes anyway, so how you know you believe it? But yet that's just a cop out of saying, well, if I hear it, I'll believe it. Really? Will it do good to measure and see how you've lined up to what you've believed so far and then see what you do with the future words? That tells me more than just people saying it in their mouth. So many people can embrace the logos or the written word, that which has been spoken out, something which has been written down, and they can be able to comply to it and be able to bring their mind psychologically into a place to where they accept it as being the truth. And then one day they receive a great challenge. Maybe it's somebody they work with, somebody they're going to college with, and they're going to raise in questions they never heard before. And then they say, well, what about this? And what about that? And what about that? And then this great faith that they thought they had becomes questioned. And they become unstable and say, well, I can't answer that. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. And then you realize that here they are. They're so unstable. They're now on shaky ground. Why? It was never a revelation. So it was intellectual faith by hearing the Logos, hearing it preached over and over and over again, or they were sitting under the gospel being preached by anointed man of God that was preaching Rhema, but they were hearing it only in the form of Logos. All they heard was, Brother Bam said, Paul said, Peter said, Brother Bam said, Paul said, Peter said, and to them, all it was an accumulation of Logos. But yet the real believer, they hear Logos, they read Logos, they thank God for Logos, but they also have the ability to receive the quickened word, the anointed word, not just the word in seed form, but the word which has become quickened by the very life of God himself. Now, Rhema is the word of God, which is a moment-to-moment portion of the Logos word uttered by the voice of God's Spirit, tailor-made to equip you for your particular need and what you're going through and the time that you're going through. Now, today, it may be one thing. Tomorrow, it may be totally different. But remember now, the Logos won't change. The Logos won't change from today till tomorrow to next week. This Bible right here has been written the same for, you know, almost 2,000 years now. So the Bible has never changed one iota. So the Logos has not changed. Now here we're coming into a stage in the message of where we've got all of these tapes and all of these books, and do we believe in printing them? We do. You know, this church, you don't realize it, but this church has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in trying to print this message and get it into the hands of the underprivileged around the world, and we will continue to do so as long as God helps us to do it. Because I believe getting that word into the hands of the people is a very important thing. But will handing somebody a book include them in the rapture? No more than handing them a Bible. We have helped put Bibles in hotel rooms and this and that and the other through the Gideons. But yet, you know what? That don't mean that they'll have eternal life. But to open up a drawer and pulling the Bible out and saying, you know what? I believe this is God's word. But if they're included in the life of God, that'll put them in the chains. Now, we looked at it last night. Let's go back to it just a little bit again today. That the word in the written state can actually, it can give us a great intellectual conception. It can give us an intellectual faith. It can actually help us and encourage us and mean really a lot to us. But yet, the word in the written state cannot reproduce itself because it is not in the state that God desired for it to be, for it to manifest. Now, you take a young girl that whenever she's a young girl, even before she's at the state of fertility to where she can be able to conceive seed. And yet that girl has all the mechanics inside of her body that years later she will develop into a woman. But right now she's not a woman because she hasn't reached that state. Yet all of the eggs that she will produce is somehow in her DNA. The same with a young boy that's 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, yet he's not at the state of reproductive state yet. Yet he has all the characteristics. Every child he will ever father, all of that is right in him then. But he cannot father a child at 5 years old because he's not at that state. Neither can a girl give birth to a baby at the age of 5 years old. But yet whenever she gets older to become to that state of where she can reproduce, what is it? It is a further development of what was there all along. But yet she was not at that state. Do you understand why? Don't you understand why? Many of the things that we're hearing right now, it's been laying right here all along. I ain't got some kind of strange revelation from Mars. I'm reading you quotes and scriptures. It's been laying there all along. That ought to tell you you're growing up. Some of you sitting around waiting, oh, it don't seem like I'm doing nothing. Don't seem like I'm growing. Listen to what God's saying to you. That ought to let you know He considers your growing up. These things couldn't be said to us when we first come to the message, but God deems that the bride is at a level. Hallelujah! She's not a 5-year-old girl no more. She is not a little virgin, a little tiny baby running around, but she's at the state of maturity. She's at the state of reproduction, and He will come to her before the devil ever has a chance. Glory to God. He will pregnate her by His spoken word seed. So God in His great providential programs decides to do it this way. He will send Logos to man. He gave it. The first written word that we know that was given to man was on the mount, Mount Sinai, where God Himself came down and wrote it on 10 commandments or 2 tables of stone.
Then the word of God come from God, which was thoughts first. Then it became spoken. And then it became written down in tablets that the children of Israel could be able to look at. Moses, in his anger because of the rebellion of the children of Israel, throws it down, goes back up on the mountain again. Now this time, God comes down and Moses has to write it down. But it's still what? It is the thought of God, the concept of God, the mandate of God. That mandate of God would go for many, many, many millennia, hundreds of years it would go. But God knew that it was only for a time. And then he started moving on the prophets, and they started coming together with new logos. They would say, a virgin shall conceive. A child will be born. A son will be given. The government will be upon his shoulders. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Isaiah also said, behold, your God shall come. The lame man shall leap as an hart. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. Zechariah said, the man whose name is the branch. And Hosea called him one thing, and Zechariah called him something else. And Haggai 2:7 called him the king of the nations, and all and on and on. What was it? Logos, 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 Logos. And God was setting forth a new day, a new dispensation, a new time when it would arrive. And when it arrived, then Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. Oh, hallelujah! He was the volume of the Logos. But listen now. The Logos alone could not die for you. If it could have, God could have taken the Bible, the Torah, nailed it on a cross. Let's put three nails through the Torah. Let's hang it on a cross. And see what it'll do for you. Nothing. Except tear up your Torah. You just ruined it by driving nails in it. But if God can put life in that Logos, and then let that Logos walk on the earth as a man, and let that Logos become expressed in the form of Rhema word. Now, Rhema is a living voice. So it's not just repeating words that you have read, but it is a living voice. Notice, let me read this quote again to you this morning. Brother Bam said, Jesus was the Word. You believe that? He is the Word. The Bible is Jesus in printed form, and it takes His Spirit to quicken those words and bring them to life again. So here is Jesus now in printed form laying in the Bible. But as Jesus' body lay in the tomb and the Spirit of God had to quicken that, so is Jesus laying here in the pages of the Word, and people can read this and fall in love with the Jesus of the Bible. They can read about the cross, and they can read about his healings. What's all the churches around here today preaching about? Many of them are preaching about Jesus in printed form. But how would you like to marry a husband that was a book? Would any of you sisters want to marry a book that you've read? Would you like to have a wedding and me and the best man walk out and here I carry your husband? And then I take your husband and I set him up right here. And then when you come out, there he is. He can't see you. He can't touch you. He can't smile at you. And then I stand before the book and you as the bride, and I say, will you, book, take this woman to be your wife? Book, answer me. You're getting married to this woman. She wants to marry you. Will you take this woman to be your wife? Don't you understand what folks have done to the Bible and what they're doing to the message? They're trying to marry a book or a tape. I don't want to marry a book. I want to marry a person. Oh, glory, I love the Logos. I appreciate the Logos. But if I want to get married, I don't want to marry a book. I want to marry the author. Oh, hallelujah. I want to marry the man who wrote the book, not just the book. Hallelujah. I resolved this morning that I was going to be nice, but I'm throwing that resolve out the back door. I don't think I will be. Glory to God. So Jesus in book form, this is what, friend, don't you understand when folks turn away from the message and they find this peace that they've never known before? Oh my, they feel so wonderful. Don't you see why? They have reverted back to a Jesus in the form of this. Not a person. Not a person cries, the word is no longer the Son of Man, so they revert back. And everything is so much easier. And the women can cut their hair and they can wear pants and the men can do this and that and the other. It's not a Jesus any longer, the present tense. It's a Jesus that was. It's a historical God. Oh my, the cross, the cross. Hey, I love the cross too. Let me think a minute and share something with you. You imagine what it must have been upon John the Revelator, the only one, the beloved apostle, as far as we know, that stood before the cross. All the rest of them fled away. It made such an imprint on that man's life, he would never get over it. Amen. Yet when he wrote the book of John, the word cross is mentioned 4 times. In 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the word cross is not even found. In the book of Revelation, penned by the Holy Ghost, using John's hand, the word cross is not even found. John loved the cross, and the cross meant so much to him. John knew the cross could bring him to God, but it couldn't mature him. Amen. Folks who want to spend all their time living around the cross, let them go ahead and do it, but they'll never be mature. They will never be ready. You'll never be ready for a rapture just staying at the cross. You've got to go to Pentecost. You've got to go to the unfailing of the words. You've got to go as God is progressing in the word. I love the cross. I love to hear it preached. I love to sing about it. I love to talk about it. But oh, I love that upper room too. I love that upper room. I love Philip's experience. I love all these other things that are part of the body. We cannot just spend all of our time around the cross. We must go on, church. Hallelujah, we must go on to the projection of God's word to see what God is projecting in this time frame. Now notice, so the Bible is Jesus in printed form. And it takes His Spirit to quicken those words and bring them to life again. Notice again, in Christ's mission, when He died, He only died in the flesh. His Spirit went to hell and preached to the souls in prison. That right? His flesh only died. Then He raised it up again and quickened it. Quickened means made alive. His flesh, which was His body. And that's the word. It's been laying dead for years. But it gradually began to come in the Reformation. And now she is standing upon her feet. Not him, but she. Glory to God, it changed from him to her. Again, in the Easter seal, He was the Word manifested here on earth, but He could not do this just as a man. It takes the Spirit of God dwelling in Him. Oh my. The Spirit of God dwelling in Him to quicken these promises to Him. Now you imagine that Jesus knew. He knew these scriptures that was right. This is me, this is me, this is me. But how did He know it? The Spirit quickened it to Him. You and I can hear quotes, the bride this and the bride that and the bride something else and the bride something else. And you're still battling. Am I bride? Am I serpent seed? Am I Pharaoh? Am I Judas? Am I the devil? Am I this, that, the other? But if God ever settles that question, you're not Judas. You're not going to hell. You're not lost. You're not an unbeliever. You're not a fake believer. You're a real son or daughter of God. It will change your life forever. Let me tell you something, friend. I believe as the bride of Christ, we need a rhema from God about our position. Hallelujah. Jesus knew who He was. How? By the Spirit, by the gem dwelling in Him. If Jesus needed that as the virgin-born Son of God, how much more do we need it sinner-born? Hallelujah. Now you're quite different than him because he knew he was going to hell, but he knew he wasn't staying. And if you know who you are you ain't even going. He went with you in mind. He knew he's going to hell, but he wasn't going to be lost. Well, you can just settle in your heart by a rhema word. You can take logos. Well, I believe. I'm a believer. I'm this. I'm that. I'm that. If we really believe that, when the devil come around and says, you're this and you ain't that or the other, you're not a son of God. You ever notice Jesus in Matthew 4 when Satan said, if you are the Son of God, Jesus never even answered him. Right. He never even said, oh, on this issue of the Son of God. He just ignored him, which is one of the best things you and I can do when it comes to our position. He says, if you as a Christian, you wouldn't do this. If you as this, you wouldn't do that. I say, get out of my face, devil. Your old breath stinks. I don't like them words. They offend me, Satan. When you question my position as a Son of God, it offends me. I'm a child by birth. I'm a child by seed. Hallelujah. We need to start getting offended at the devil. You get offended at me, you get offended at one another. The one you ought to get offended at is the devil. Jesus said to the devil when he anointed Peter, thou art an offense unto me. You offend me, devil. All of us know how to act when we're offended. I see somehow y'all act, you pout, pooch your lips out. He offended me. That's the way y'all act to the devil. When the devil comes around, pooch that big lip out about that long. And the devil said, what's the matter with you? You offended me, devil. You offended me yesterday. I ain't on speaking terms with you. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to debate with you. I'm not going to reason with you. Because you offended me. You said I wasn't a child of God. But I am a child of God. Glory. Notice this in the Easter seal. Now the same spirit that was upon him to be the redeemer in that age. That we have accepted now the promise in the last days. What would take place? If you become a part of that word, you are redeemed with him. Because the same spirit that dwelt in Christ is dwelling in you, quickening your life to this age. Hang tight with me. If you're ordained to be in the part of this word, you couldn't leave, even if you wanted to. I'm talking about your flesh now. The seed don't want to go nowhere, no how. But how many of you made up your mind? I ain't going back no more. I'm turning away. You made up your mind. And God's sovereignty overrode your mind. Oh, I'm so glad. How in the world can I stop something I never started? How in the world can me as a creature of time put a hold on something that is eternal? Notice in God's power to transform, there's only one thing that can quicken the word, and that is the Spirit. It is a life giver to the word. And when the life in the word meets the life of the Spirit, notice what happens. Conception. When the word of God meets the Spirit of God, what is it? Birth. Don't you understand? When the Spirit of God anoints that word to you and a scripture that you've read or a quote that you've read becomes quickened, you have the baby in your soul. You have the baby of that word. It's all glory to God. I see it. So the Spirit moves on the word and it gives birth. And the manifestation of that birth is you screaming and squalling. Glory to God, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm made well. I'm not going to die. Notice when the life and the word meets the life of the Spirit, it produces whatever the seed is. So wonder what will happen then in 1 Thessalonians 4. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. So the Spirit of life will anoint that promised word of life. And it'll conceive and I'll bring forth the body, baby. Once it's conceived, it will come forth in me and you. You understand? Then the Logos becomes the anointed word. And when it does, you step out into a new body. I love this. We read this last night, but I'm going to read it again. As the eternal Logos was manifested in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that eternal one was the Father manifest in flesh. Lord have mercy. Thereby gained the title of Son. Even so, we eternal in His thoughts. Excuse me. Did you hear that? You poor, oh, sorry, low down, rotten creature of time. For when you are no more, I still will be. Because when God thought about your existence, He thought about you as a creature of time, devil. But when He thought about me, I was way back in that eternal compartment in God's mind. Even so, we eternal in His thoughts, in our, oh yes, think of it, friends, in our turn became the many-membered spoken word seed manifest in flesh. And those eternal thoughts now manifest in flesh are the sons of God. Even we are, notice, now why do we get this? Why are we called sons of God? Not because we run, jump, shout, and hallelujahs, but because we are eternal thoughts of God in flesh. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed and therefore were reborn. For only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be reborn. For in non-seed there is nothing to quicken. So what happens when you take the breath of life? A little deposit of Logos down in your soul. There it was held and nurtured. First lie you ever told was contrary to that Logos. First beer you ever drunk. First cigarette. First dope you ever took. Whatever you done. But because the life had been severed from that spoken word seed of God, it could not release power to help you overcome it. Like a little 5-year-old girl. She cannot be a mama. A 5-year-old boy cannot be a daddy. But as you grow and something, you know, maybe one day you passed a church sign and they said, where will you spend eternity? Will you be lost? If Jesus comes today, where will you be? Think about your destination, something or another. And it began to set you in that thing. Maybe you weren't even raised in a church going family, but something began to deal with you. What was it? That little girl started growing up. Now you're heading toward God. Oh, hallelujah. Just because you come to an altar now don't mean the spirit of life fell upon that word and produced the union. The union is not consummated until they both come together. And that actually is the new birth. I shouted, I jumped, I run, I spoke in tongues in Pentecost. But let me tell you something, friend. When I come to this message, I knew I needed more than a change in theology. I needed a change in me. This is where we've done a great disadvantage, I'm afraid. We've led many folks to the doctrines of this message, but we've not led them to a further experience. We got Baptist folks sitting in message churches that have grasped message doctrines, but really their experience is no farther than just an advanced Baptist. That's all they are. We got Pentecostals. We got Church of Christ. We got all of this sitting right there. But the bride, oh, the bride knows I need more than a change in my theology. I needed a change in me, a new birth by the word. Watch this, and God rich in mercy, you can hear all the theology you want to, all the man-made discrepancy, but when the word flashes out there, then there is something takes a hold, you come to it. You were once dead in sin, that life has quickened. There has to be a life there to quicken too. First, God by His foreknowledge knows all things, and we were predestinated to be sons and daughters of God. You who were once dead in trespasses, think of it, when you was a sinner, it was still laying down inside of you. Look at Paul. Was Paul a great theologian? But when he come face to face with that word, Jesus, not face to face with the word in a book, face to face with the word in a tape, but face to face with the word Jesus. If you want to marry a book, I'll try to perform the wedding for you as best I know how. It'd be kind of weird to me. I think you may now kiss the bride. I don't know how that's going to work. But if that's what you want to come here and be filled up with Logos, and you want to marry the Logos, that's entirely up to you. But I would rather present you a man. I'd rather present you a man, a real man. I'm talking about Christ Jesus, the Word. Amen. I cannot imagine marrying a book. I cannot imagine marrying a church. I cannot imagine marrying a preacher. I want a real man, Christ Jesus. Now hold on. Brother Ben says the gospel. It's not altogether the word. This is the word of God. And all things must be based upon this word. If it isn't, it isn't true. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He did not say, teach the word. Uh-oh. Y'all got quiet on me. He said, preach the gospel, but the gospel consists more than teaching the word. Well, glory. For Paul confirming that said the gospel came to us not in word only, but through power, demonstration of the Holy Spirit, would come and demonstrate the gospel, bring the word to a living reality. So I get up and I go to declaring to you rather all the doctrines of the message and all the declarations of Logos. And then I say, of course, we know God don't heal no more because we're more advanced now. We're deeper. We're deeper in the Word. So people don't actually get the Holy Ghost anymore. They just, it's something that kind of happens in there. Sounds like a headache to me. It better happen more than in here. It better be down here. Well, of course, you know, we know there's certain Pentecostals around the message like Brother Donnie Reagan. And one of the great men around the message paid me one of the greatest compliments I've ever been paid a few years ago. He said, I had done more to lead people back to Pentecost than any man in this message. I said, well, glory. He meant 1906, but I took it the original. Oh yes, brother, I'm not ashamed of this original baptism of the Holy Ghost. So what we'll do is, now for all of those of you that are sick, I'm going to have the brothers to project to you up here a picture of a fireplace. Okay? Now for those of you that know, if you've ever looked at fireplaces before, you know if you do not have room in your house for gas, or you don't want a propane fireplace or a gas fireplace, or you don't have natural gas, that they make videos of fireplaces. And you can put them on your screen, and it just looks like a foil. You turn the volume up, and it pops and cracks and all that sort of thing. But can you imagine us saying, now, we don't believe Jesus heals no more, and there's no more miracles, and nobody sure don't speak in tongues no more. We sure do speak in that common tongue a whole lot. We don't believe in the unknown one, but we sure believe in that known one. It rattles. It's tied in the middle and rattles on both ends. Come on now. So what we're going to do from this point on, we're going to say God's dead. God don't heal no more. God don't do anything no more. But from now on, those of you who are sick and dying and all that, we will put up here on this screen a beautiful picture of a fireplace. And you all just sit there and just imagine. Imagination's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Except when it comes to the gospel. When it comes to the gospel, I want reality. I've seen one of them electric fireplaces or them video type things, you know, and they can make it pretty realistic looking, impersonators. They can make it pretty realistic and turn the volume up and man, it'll snap, crackle, pop. I used to do that whenever I was a kid, you know. That was the kind of cereal I ate. Snap, crackle, pop. But as I've got older, that's the way my body sounds when I get up in the morning. Snap, crackle, pop. Oh, some of y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? So this pops and that snaps and that crackles. And you go, oh, God, help me to get to the bathroom and back. But you realize what? We want a reality. body. I want something that'll change this body. It'll take more than a painted, well, God was this and God was that. Don't tell me what he was. Tell me what he is, my brother. Don't tell me what he could do. Tell me what he can do for me. Oh, glory. Don't you see, Logos can paint us such a beautiful picture of what he was. Logos can tell us what he will be. But Rhema tells us what he is. Well, if Brother Branham was here, I'll tell you what. Well, if Brother Benham is your God, you should move to Jeffersonville and camp out next to the cemetery. Because if they buried your God up there in that cemetery in Indiana, if I was you, I'd move as close to my God as I could. But since my God's not Brother Branham, my God ain't Paul, my God is in here. So everywhere I go, I take him with me. I don't have to go to Jeffersonville and camp out in the graveyard. I don't have to get up there every Easter and say, Brother Branham's going to get up. This is your Brother Branham's going to get up. Well, I want to see him, that's for sure. But I know one thing. Until he gets up, until the resurrection morning comes, there's one who got up that's living with me every day of my life. He encourages me when I get down. He heals me when I get sick. He lifts me up when I get weary. Why? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not Brother Branham. Not Brother Donnie. Not you. Jesus Christ the same. Glory! Do you understand, friend? This is the theme of Brother Branham's ministry. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and forever. But that theme was not Logos. Hebrews 13 8 was not Logos to Brother Branham. It was Rhema. Now here we are, second and third and fourth generation message followers, and the very same scripture that was the basis of his ministry has now become Logos to us. So the gospel consists of more than teaching the word. And the church said, amen. If you just receive the word by knowing the word, that doesn't do you any good. You are kidding me. A word prophet would say such a thing about learning the written word. That it doesn't do you any good. As a matter of fact, it makes some folks worse. They're way harder to deal with than an old drunk. Some of the hard-headedest, hard-heartedest people you'll ever want to deal with is around this message. Because they know so much, but they know so little. They know so much, but they know so little from here, from the heart. Can I go on a bit? Now notice he said, if you just receive the word by knowing the word. Listen, not creeds, not dogmas, not denomination. The word. If you receive the word by knowing the word, that doesn't do any good. The letter. But the Spirit giveth life. Then you must be born again. And the Holy Spirit quickens the word to you. In other words, it's like a grain of corn if it's laying in my hand. It's a grain of corn. It'll never be nothing else but bury it. It comes contaminated, molds, and then it brings forth another grain of corn just like it. So God wants to take this corn of his word, plant it in the hearts of individuals, and not just have one son, but have a millions. Glory. Why? Because that word takes life in the individual heart. But all what Satan's thing is, if he can't keep you away from the message, from the truth, then he'll get you to idolizing the gift that God sent to bring it to us. And then we just focus on the Logos and we memorize the Logos and boy, we debate it and talk it back and forth. But what about manifestation? What about godly lives that are lived by the Word? Notice again, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. See, so the Word manifest is what we need today. Oh my. Again, the gospel is not go out and teach them the Bible. That isn't the gospel. Now let's bring it on down. Going out and setting up tape libraries in Africa and Indonesia and Asia and wherever more. People think they're giving them the gospel. No, they're not. They're giving them the message of the hour, the Logos, which has been preached. But I'll tell you what they still need. They still need some anointed men of God to come right in there and take them same tapes and same word. Come on now, don't get quiet on the children. Glory. It is said in the scriptures that the gospel didn't come to you in word only, but through the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. The gospel, that is the word, but the letter killeth. The Spirit giveth life. Now a seed laying here in the pulpit isn't just a seed until it dies and becomes germatized. Germatized and died. It'll never do anything. The word here has to be made manifest in order to be God. Lord of mercy. In order to be God, it's not enough to quote it, discuss it, talk it, debate it. It's got to be manifested. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now to people, that's what the Word was. To take a word is the expression of a thought. It has to be a thought before it can be a word. So God, in the beginning, gave the thought of what would be. Spoke the word what for? We see, we receive the word, and it produces what God thought was. The word is the gospel in seed form. The letter is all right, but it killeth. But the Spirit giveth life. Again, the letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. The letter alone kills. But when the Holy Spirit comes down through the cleansing blood into this womb, a germ takes on. Whoa. What is the gospel? The word. Gospel means good news. The good news is the Bible. But the Bible is the letter. And the letter killeth. But the Spirit giveth life. How many of these do I need to breathe to you to prove that this is exactly the truth? Again, he says the Spirit of the Word is the Holy Spirit. That's what quickens it. The letter killeth. The Spirit giveth it life, see? Gives the letter, just the printed letter, life. Makes it manifest. Brings it to pass exactly what God promised. Now watch, when Jesus was here, he used both of these Greek terms to express his thoughts. Rhema and Logos. In John 6:68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the remas of eternal life. Now notice, so here Peter answers, thou hast the rema, not the logos. Because then priests believe this, the written word, the Old Testament. Notice in St. John 8:47, he that is of God heareth God's remas. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. You know why people stay home and play tapes and say they don't need a preacher? They're not of God. Many people can receive parts and receive parts of instruction from Logos, but only the elected can really receive Rhema. You see, the Logos word is visible. The Logos word is visible. So you pick up a tape, you pick up a Bible, you pick up a book. It is the visible word of God perceived by sight. So you're able to read it. You're able to turn it on. You're able to start it and stop it, which is one thing, one reason why most folks don't like a pastor, because he don't come with a remote. Now if they had a remote, I don't like it when he says, glory to God, Jesus loves you. And then they just repeat that. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Then if their pastor come with a remote, they'd calm him down, tune him down, that adjust the color, that adjust the hue, that adjust the treble, the bass, that turn the volume up and down, give them complete control over a man of God. What you need is a toy, not a preacher. You need to go down to Toys R Us and buy your remote control toy and play with that toy and call it your pastor and send him over here and send him over there. But God called me and our thunderbolts. They don't come with a remote control in the hands of the people. They come with a remote control in the hands of the Almighty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anointed by the living voice of God. So the Logos is visible, seen, touched, handled, perceived by sight. The Rhema words are invisible, perceived by faith. In the natural this morning, through my visible body, I have spoken already hundreds of invisible words. Have I? Are you sure? How do you know you're sure? Could we judge it by the sense of sight? Now let's take our sense of sight and say, are you sure that I have spoke all these words already this morning? Can you see them? Let's take the sense of feel. Did you feel them? You might have felt the effect of them. Now what about the sense of taste? Did you taste them? You see why your senses lie to you? Now take them senses and you're going to find out they will be the majority most of the time, which will be negative against the word. And you say, I didn't see no words come out of his mouth. I didn't taste no words come out of his mouth. I didn't feel no words come out of his mouth. So there could be no words come out of his mouth. But here you said and you go by one sense, the sense of hearing. And you know already you've heard a bunch of words. So you mean to tell me you're going to take that one sense and you're going to write all those others and say, I know he's saying these words. I have heard these words. And sight says, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I never saw one word come out of his mouth. I've been sitting under him for 23 years, whatever it's been. I've never seen one word come out of his mouth. I don't believe the man can talk. Are you going to let your sight make a fool out of you? Or are you going to set it in order and let your hearing say, shut up, sight, for you embarrass us all. Shut up, taste. This is not your department. You'll kick in when he dismisses. Shut up, touch. This is not your department. Now it's time for the hearing. You understand, church? And whenever your feelings and your emotions would say you're not a son of God, you don't feel nothing, speak to the feeling department and said you're on leave for right now. I'm not going but what you say. You don't feel saved. You don't feel like a child of God. That's not the way I measure if I'm a child of God. Amen. I measure by I've accepted his atonement for my sins. Amen. You can sit down and read the Bible and be so low and so discouraged. These precious words of God. You can sit down and read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Making me to lie down in green pastures and on and on and on. And depending on whether that has quickened you or not. If you're not careful with your mindset and you being really low and down, you'll fold up that Bible and Satan will say, yep. Now if he was your shepherd, how come you're feeling the way you do? You ever had him to do that to you? So he'll take that logos and wear you out. But if while you're sitting there, you're just sitting there reading and you're so down, I mean, you're lower in the snake's belly. Oh man, you think this is the lowest I've ever been in my life. You think, you know, should I even read? I mean, is it even worth it anymore? Should I even put forth an effort? You turn over to Psalms 23. You say, well, I know this. I'll just go ahead and read it. And you say, the Lord is my. And them two letters look like they're the size of this building. And you say, Lord Jesus. Oh! Do you understand what happens? Rhema. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then old devil comes and says, oh, that is you. Says, shut your mouth. You know why? Because faith has got hair on its chest. Amen. It can look out there. Why? A rhema word changed your life. And it might not have been but one word, and that one word might have been mine. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Hallelujah. Do you understand what just happened? That psalm becomes a rhema psalm. Now what's absolutely amazing is, if you get up the next day and sit down and open it and try the same thing, you don't do it. Isn't that amazing? You know how we are. We all lean toward magical potions. Friend, this is sovereignly given. This is not a button, a rhema button that you have. Bam, rhema. Bam, logos, rhema, logos. You don't control this. God does. We might be so blessed at the end of the service by a certain song. We say, oh, that's so wonderful. That's so wonderful. I want to sing it. I want to sing it every time we go to church for the next month. It probably won't do the same. That song was a rhema song for that particular service. But what we try to do is make it work over and over and over again. No, what we want to do is follow the Spirit of God. There may be a rhema word today that'll be a different rhema word tomorrow. A song today that won't work Wednesday night. All men, saved and unsaved, can receive from the Logos. There are many business people that are Christian business people that have established their business on principles of the Scripture. And they give and they've learned these laws of giving. Brother Bram said they can take certain portions of that word and make it live. Certain preachers that live like devils, but they've learned principles of presenting faith. Presenting faith and people get healed and stuff. That's got to be a man of God. It don't have nothing to do with him being a man of God. He's found a principle which is true. Right? And he preaches that so they're able to tap into the Logos and people will be healed. But all men cannot receive Rhema word. For the Rhema word is spirit revealed invisibly. Watch this in Christ and Mr. Revealed. Webster says is to make known. Make known, especially Webster says in Divine Truth, that revelation means the revelation is Christ's way of making himself known to his church. So you can be sitting in church and you made up your mind when you come today, I ain't going back no more. This is it. I'm finished with this. I'm fed up. I'm wore out. I'm struggling with this and that and the other. And you told the devil before you come to church and he said, good deal. Good deal. All right, go out at the table and let the kids get jam all over their face. Let them drop Kool-Aid all over the floor. Let them milk. When they get out in the car, let them just have everything in the world going. Let daddy say, you better say nothing. Of course, I know none of y'all do that here. And then the husband and wife have a few words even on the parking lot before church. Then you try to get out and... God bless you, brothers. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Wasn't that a wonderful service? Me and my wife was just exchanging some words about, yes, that was a wonderful service last night. It was. And you come in and sit down and Satan says, you hypocrite. Don't tell me you're going to clap your hands. You're going to stand up. You're going to bow your head and pray.
You sorry. Good for nothing. Low down.
And all of a sudden the preacher comes out and goes singing, you know, goes into the preaching of the word. And man, a man of God followed down through his thought, and all of a sudden he feels a tug. It's hard to explain how that works. But you're going 90 miles an hour. And all of a sudden you just feel a tug. You're head this way. And all of a sudden you go. And then. I said, what in the world was that for? You. I'm still trying to figure out some of the things I said 5 years ago. Come to find out it's for you all. Or somebody over in Norway or somebody over here. What was it? A rhema word. Because the Lord Jesus heard what they said. And he said, I will not be defeated by that devil. They made up their mind they wasn't coming back no more. But I'll have that anointed man of God speak to them in such a direct way. They'll know I'm mindful of them. They'll know I love them. They'll know I care for them. Notice this in St. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my remus, not my logos, but my remus abide in you. So it's like they're in you when your sisters are little girls. The potential to be a mother, to be a woman, it's like it was there. But it couldn't come out until the time. Your brothers, when you was little boys, all the children you'd ever father, all the seed, all the potential was in you then. But it's like it had to be the right time, the right season, the right session, everything, in order to bring it. That's what Jesus said. If you abide in me and my remas are actually living in you. But you don't have access to them. You can't go in and get them. Well, what is it, Brother Donnie? The spirit of life in you takes that logos which you read. Oh, glory to God. And he anoints that logos. And when he does, his spirit comes on the logos. And when it does, it comes out. Amen. What? Not a repeating of logos, but living voice. He said, this is only direct communion with God, direct communication with God that can take the logos and direct it out of a mortal's lips. And it actually becomes rhema. Watch this in Acts chapter 8, verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I praise thee. Of whom speaketh the prophet? This. Of himself? Or of some other man? Now here's this Ethiopian eunuch going along. He's been up to Jeffersonville. Or to Tucson or Happy Valley or somewhere. Had a big message convention. He went up there and man, he got all the books and all the message paraphernalia, the belt buckles. He come back with a license plate on the back of his chariot. He's truly identified. Man, I'll tell you what, this guy is a message follower now. So he's reading from the quotes of the prophet. But he's still confused. He said, is the prophet talking about himself? Or is he talking about the Son of Man? Or is the prophet the Son of Man? Or so the Spirit spoke to Philip and said, go join yourself to the chariot. So here comes a rhema preacher. Up to a logos reader. Hey, we love the logos, do we not? We should read it. Yes, sir. So this logos reader asked this rhema preacher. Is the prophet talking about himself when he says, and who is Jesus? Topeka, Kansas, 1964. Now the time has come. We must recognize who's in our city today. The Lord Jesus himself. Impersonating himself in human flesh. But a rhema preacher can say, that wasn't Brother Branham's body. That was Jesus using the body. Then Philip opened his. And began at the same scripture. Logos. And preached unto him a rhema word. Isaiah did not say Jesus. Now, if he would have preached only Logos and said the prophet said, 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 he could never identify who this was by name. And you know what? This eunuch would have been just as confused as he was when Philip got aboard his chariot, but he had to bring a rhema word and identify who this was, and he gave it a human name. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't you understand? Satan don't mind as long as we leave these quotes in the message, or the bride will do this and the bride will do that and the bride will do something else. But come on, friend. Let's give it a human name. Let's call it Joe. Let's call it Ava. Let's call it Lisa. Let's call it Donnie. I want to be that word. So he was reading Logos, but he needed Rhema to bring the conversion. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Isaiah was a prophet. Now that would have been quoting Logos. But here this man is accepting Rhema word. It must have been made real to him too. Isaiah never mentioned the name Jesus. Come on now. But I believe that Jesus Christ. Oh, this boy's got a revelation. Jesus Christ. Jesus the anointed one. Jesus Christ is. Not was. Is the Son of God. Acts chapter 10 verse 44. Peter goes down to the Gentiles. And began to preach. While Peter yet spake these remas, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now remember, they didn't even have the New Testament. Wasn't written until 60 AD. So here this is 33 and something like that, 34 AD. And what are they preaching? They're preaching the living word with a living voice. So remas went out of Peter's mouth. And when it did, that was some seeds laying there. They held that spoken logos of God. Oh my. And when the remas invisible went out of there, it departed life to those logos sitting there. Now you imagine if Peter would have stepped up and said, you know, the prophet said, and the prophet said. The prophet said, and the prophet said. Now, hey, friends, you know I read as many quotes as probably any preacher you ever heard in your life. But I wasn't called just to read. I was called to preach. And I try my best to preach the quotes, not just read them. I don't want to be a dictionary. I don't want to be a tape player. If I'm going to do that, we'll just play a tape. But I want to be able to bring it to you and make it alive. So here's Peter preaching. Out of Peter's mouth is going remas of God. So it's not just logos letter. The letter kills. Can't you see why some preachers, why they cannot bring birth? They're not called of God. Many preachers, I'm convinced, are not born of God. And they are quoting what? Logos, 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 logos. It kills the church. It kills the spirit. It kills the move of God. Why? The letter kills. And they can't understand why their church is dead as a hammer. Let's stand. I didn't say I was down there to ask you to stand. I want to share with you one more scripture before we go. I'm going to be down with Brother Joseph Hammond next week. Brother David Siler will be preaching. So you get a little bit of relief from me. Brother Tim Pruitt will be here Wednesday night week. So you get to hear some good preachers. Let me close with this. Romans chapter 10 verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Now if you notice this or not, if you ever saw it before. But the word speaketh is actually Lego. Your kids have probably got some of them at home. Lego toys. That's where this comes from. It's a Greek word which means say, speak, collect, pick out, narrate, describe, to put word to word. You know the little Lego toys, you know what I'm talking about? So you connect one to the other, to the other, to the other. And you make a building. Lego. God has been playing with these toys for a long time. And God will connect and connect and connect and connect. That's what's going on inside of you when you come to church. You might not get but one more little dot that connected today, but thank God for it. It's going to make the building. So God is building a Lego house of divine word. But this, the righteousness which is of faith, speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what says it? The Rhema is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the Rhema of faith which we preach. You hear people saying, oh, if Jesus can come down. I said, no, he's not up there. He's down here. And people say, oh, if I can bring him up. Paul said, no. The Rhema understanding places him in your mouth and in your heart. You notice he didn't say in your head. Malachi 4 to turn our heads, but our hearts. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray of all these words that I've said today, they will be of no good at all unless you'd be able to take them, sort through them. As a human, I've never preached a perfect sermon. I wish I could, but it's beyond my capability. The human element is always there. I'll say things wrong or misplace them, not because I intentionally do it, because I'm a human. But somehow, may they look past my ways, my old hillbilly upbringing. May they be able to hear the Rhemas of God. Oh, hallelujah. For Paul tells us in the book of Hebrews, for we understand the worlds were framed by the Rhemas of God. And we also know Paul told us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by Rhemas, not by Logos. Help us, Lord Jesus. We need you today. I need you. Make the word more real to me, Father. You know, Lord, I study nearly every day of my life because I want my spirit filled with this word. But I learned a long time ago, my studying will not produce a bride. My studying will not get these people ready for a rapture. It'll take you to do it, Lord. So I pray you'd help them not to be confident in their memory. Confident in how many years they've been around the message. Confident. When a preacher quotes a scripture wrong, they can elevate their chest and quote it in front of him or quote it behind him and say a word that he left out, and they feel so confident in themselves. Help them to realize that's in vain if that's all they have. Help us to know, Lord Jesus, it takes your spirit to quicken that Logos. For the Logos is, as it were, the female part. And here it is. It can lay in our hearts. It can lay in this Bible. Malachi 4, laid in the Word, in the written Word, in the form of Logos for over 2,000 years. Laid there hundreds of years before you ever come on the earth. Then it laid there for almost another 2,000 years. But one day, the fulfillment of that scripture was born down there in Burksville, about 30 miles from me and Harry was born and raised. There in that little old hillside where that little log cabin was. It never set nobody free as long as it was written word. It never cast out no devils. It never busted up no churches. Never caused no trouble. But one day that Malachi 4 word, a little baby was born. And something started moving. At 7 years old, going toward Waltham Mill, that burning bush, that light appeared in the tree and the bush and all that. Then when he's going to take that drink of whiskey and smoke the cigarette, you kept coming down, manifesting yourself. He got to a place, it was so tore up, he didn't know what to do. So he goes back to pray. And he's praying, God, take these things away from me. And all of a sudden, he sees a man's bare feet in front of him. And a man steps out of a light and says, I have been sent from the presence of Almighty God to tell you of your strange and peculiar birth and your ministry. And then he says years later, to me, it was Malachi 4. It was Luke 17:30. It was Revelation 10. So then he told him, he brought a rhema word. Oh, glory to God. Now, Lord, he's gone on to his reward in that blessed sixth dimension. Now enough time has passed by that we're hearing, printing, reading, studying his words. We thank you for him, Lord. But now, Father God, we need not necessarily to go up and pray in a cave or out in a cabin somewhere. We don't look for some angel to walk out to us. We want the Holy Ghost just to take these words and make them real. Quicken our life, Father, not to make us theologians, to make us godly Christians that'll live a consecrated, separated life. Grant it, Lord. And many would say, that's my desire too, Lord Jesus. Raise your hand to him, friends. Let him just see your hand raised up. That you want to be that kind of a person. A consecrated Christian. I don't care nothing about being a theologian. I don't care nothing about being able to just quote. I want to be a Christian. A godly Christian. You say, is this necessary, Brother Donnie? Let me read this to you. In Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it. Talking about the church. With the washing of the rhema. The washing of the water of the rhema, which is lutron. The Greek word that Paul uses is lutron, which is the laver. Not baptismal waters, which you get one time, but the laver, which the priest had to wash every time before he went into the presence of God. Don't you see why we need rhema? Don't you see why Satan wants to make a Logos Christian out of you? Where you stay home and read your Bible and read the books. The washing of the water of purifying the bride is by rhema word. I thank God today for my bath. Don't you thank God for good Holy Ghost bath water? Are you washed by the water of the word? Oh, glory to God. You love him with all your heart? Are you washed by the water? Are you washed by the water of the word? Are you washed by the water? Are you washed by the water of the word? Let's sing it now. This way, yes, I'm washed. Yes, I'm washed by the rhema. I am washed by the rhema of the word. Oh, yes, I'm washed by the rhema. I am washed by the rhema of the word. Are you washed by the water? Are you washed by the water of the word? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mercy rewrote my life. God's mercy rewrote my life. Oh, just love Him now. I have fallen, my soul. God's mercy rewrote my life. His mercy rewrote my life. Oh, Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I should have fallen, my soul. Thank God, rewrote my life. With all the folks that are so unstable in this time, folks turning away, not sure if the message is still real, raising all kinds of questions in their heart, in their minds, whether or not they still believe. This is my stand.
I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water.
That's the way you feel?
I shall not be moved. Oh, Jesus is my Savior. I shall not be moved. Oh, in His love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, I shall not.
Let's sing it together now.
I shall not be. Oh, I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, I shall not. Still my prophet, I shall not be moved. No matter how many folks find fault with him, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, I shall not be moved. My Holy Ghost is still real. I shall not be moved. I know. That's planted by the water. Oh,
let's sing it, children. Oh, glory.
Oh, I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I
shall not be. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I love you in the Lord. See you Wednesday night for those who can come and be here. May the fear of God go with you. On His word I'm feeding. I shall not be moved. He's the one that's leading. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water.